Down now. Thank you.
Carolyn Wogelmuth.
My name is Carolyn Wogelmuth. I'm a city resident. I sent the city council and the mayor an email this weekend, but since I had no acknowledgement of that email, I'm going to basically read it to you. On July 4th, I joined 17 other city residents to file a complaint under the Maryland Open Meetings Act regarding the closed meeting held by the Salisbury City Council on June 20th, 2023, to discuss a contract by which the city agreed to sell public parking lots for development. On September 11th, 2023, the Open Meetings Compliance Board concluded that the council violated the act when it closed a meeting to the public under the legal advice exception of Section 3305B7, but then engaged in closed session discussions that exceeded the bounds of that exception. I've repeatedly come to the council and requested that the minutes of the June 20th, 23 meeting be made public. To date, my requests have neither been acknowledged nor addressed publicly. In the interest of transparency, I again call on you to release the minutes. All it takes is a majority vote of this council to do so. This can easily be accomplished tonight. I don't understand what you're waiting for. I mean, you see the effects of not being transparent with the public. The public is upset. The public is going to go after things in a legal way. And this morning, we proved that the public doesn't really want this and it's not legal. So what are you waiting for? Why will you not be forthcoming and open? It's all about transparency or the lack thereof. Thank you.
Robert Taylor.
I guess you might call me Peck's bad boy on this situation. I was the one that at the Board of Appeals hearing in November raised the issue about the what we call the variance defense, and that is that under Maryland enabling legislation, it is absolutely crystal clear that the only way you can change density is by a variance. Now, I pointed that out. The attorney, and I'm not going to name names, who was there for the board at the time, poo-pooed it. They went ahead and, in any event, denied the application. So they made the right decision, and I could possibly say it's sometimes a law school expression, the right decision for the wrong reason. They should have just simply thrown the case out at the get-go, because under Maryland law, you can't get a special exception to change density, period. There's no question about it. I sent you information over the weekend, and I have one of the things I sent you was something from the Maryland Department of Planning that discusses special exceptions and variances. It is absolutely clear in the state law, it says variances are for density. Now, the argument was made today by Mr. Gillis's attorney or the developer's attorney that, oh, well, that doesn't preclude you from doing the special exception. Well, legal analysis doesn't work that way, folks. And that is just simply a bogus argument, and that's what the judge saw. But anyway, a couple things I want to get on to. The argument was just made, or the suggestion was just made, and it's been made many times over the past few months, including by me, that the minutes from that closed session you had back in June, that was when you approved the what I call the deal with the developer, land disposition agreement. that closed session minutes, which have been declared to be an illegal meeting, incidentally, by the board, compliance board, as was pointed out, let's make those public. What is being hidden here? Why shouldn't the public know the whole story? Now, the other point that's worth making is that almost everybody that I've talked to, and I believe only the developer, is the only people in Salisbury who really want this. Everybody I've talked to, when you explain to them what's going to happen to this parking lot, and then when you explain to them about all the other lots, what's happening, they say, somebody must be smoking something. And I mean, it's unfortunately for the Salisbury Town Center and the lots on this side, the park has really screwed things up, as I say. If that parking had not been destroyed, there might be some way to work something out and to have at least some apartments there. But that's taken a lot of the parking away, and incidentally, it happens to be the prime parking. I guess I can't go on, but I've sent you stuff, and I will send you on how the code needs to be changed to keep this from happening again, because that's the problem. It's what the code reads. The city code is not in compliance with Maryland law.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mary Huebner? Okay, you don't need to. Okay, gotcha. And John Wolgum.
Salisbury Town Center Apartments. This project continues to fail to address many of the community and city issues that were even in the preliminary plan. High apartment density only exacerbates the effects of a poorly planned project. Too many apartment units upsets the balance to the district, the CBD, instead of benefiting it. Detailed assessment of current and future effects on the citizens and business communities, both inside and outside of the city, was not done. There was not a community impact study. It was just waived, and those issues still exist. As proposed, this project has no return on investments to the city for what the city will have to pay if this is constructed. We will be held up for excessive costs to provide a wide range of city services, such as expanded police force, fire protection, increased landfill capacity, other services, and new and unbudgeted infrastructure and new interfaces that would be required to integrate with this project, as well as increases in needed city personnel. We also don't have any idea what the high-cost environmental issues hang over the city. Once the ground is broken, there may be a whole wave of environmental contamination, and the way it's set up, LCC, Limited Liability Corporation, can just wash their hands of it, and it comes back to being a city responsibility. Additionally, financial giveaways to developers in any form of tax waivers, such as the Horizon, can only worsen what the current city's physical and future financial burdens are, the risk and sustainability to our financial solvency. We can barely provide trash fleet to do the city. We have whole rafts of unfunded mandates coming this year, and we are not able to afford these huge, unaffordable costs. And while it was claimed this is going to be providing affordable housing, there is no affordable housing in the town center. That is policy from day one. 40 apartments per unit has not even been designed by the potential developer to a state where we would understand what that would do. Additionally, the required evaluation and associated recommendation by the P&Z Commission to the city was not done. The bottom line is that these and other substantial issues must be addressed before continuing down this ruinous path of the Salisbury City apartment complex that would blindly take us. Typically, cost to the city exceeds one and a half times the property tax revenue.
Thank you.
We're not going to get any property tax revenue from
Brad Gillis.
There, sir. Good evening. My name is Brad Gillis, City of Salisbury, taxpayer, live in Tony Tank, 1604 Old Mill Lane. The issue is complex. The issue is multifaceted. This hearing this morning in regards to the court was about special exceptions and if they can or cannot be granted, or excuse me, increased density can or cannot be granted with special exceptions. Today, right now, Mill Pond Village, Jasmine Drive, Northport Commons, Martin's Mill. Martin's Mill is the project that was heard the same night. The Grove, Ocean's Isle, Marley Manor, potentially 500 Riverside, Summers Gate, Miller's Edge. All these projects can no longer happen because of what today took place. They are done. It is a dumpster fire, literally a dumpster fire. It's no longer about Salisbury Town Center. This has become an existential crisis for the city of Salisbury and the vehicle associated with special exception. Putting all of that aside, because that will be discussed later, about this project, I've said, for anybody that will listen to me, we're a fork in the road of this project. Both ways that we're going to take, there is no more surface-level parking. The parking has been gone since 2002. It was surplus in 2002, 21 years ago, 22 years ago now. The former parking lots have been sold. It's done. We are pregnant. If we do not want to do this project as a community, I am okay with that. But move forward. The word stall is not in the vocabulary of this project. We are moving it forward with or without the cooperation of the mayor. Please help us and move this project forward, or with an alternative project, which I'm happy to consider, so long as you'll talk to me. You have not engaged, and I'm looking forward to your engagement when you're ready. One of the reasons that we're here today is that I brought notice to the city of Salisbury on February 9th that we're going to move forward with our project. We had received a demo permit. We're going to close the parking lots. I've resorted to acting like a toddler because of the city of Salisbury, specifically the mayor, has not engaged with me. And it's time for engagement. And I look forward to your engagement. Promptly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. There you go.
All right. Seeing no other public comments. Thank you, Ms. Patel. No other. Okay. Thank you.
Do you have anything to add? Does she have anything? No, she'll do with this. Mitchell?
Do you have anything to
do with Mitchell Landing? No, that's okay. That's all
another fee. Right, council will now receive an update on Mitchell Landing. Due to a conflict of interest, I am going to recuse myself from this agenda item and ask that Vice President Blake conduct this portion of the agenda. Ms. Blake?
Okay. We will have Ashley Beauchet. And I think administration comment on this. We wanted to have an update on Mitchell Landing.
I think the mayor has an update for you.
He does? Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. So, again, I think probably going to talk about a lot of this in closed session. Is that how we're going to do all three of these? We're going to open an open session and go into closed session?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you could just summarize just an update high level and then any of the legal questions that you have for me.
session.
And we also asked Mira Boda to be here in case there's any additional follow-up. He can answer any questions. So I'll just invite him up here, but he doesn't need to answer any questions unless addressed.
So specifically to Mitchell Landing, the city entered into an agreement in 2021, prior administration, and I found some irregularities in that agreement, and so I want to discuss the legal options there. I think there was a little confusion as to what was actually being offered, as to what is actually being paid for the property. So I think we need to look at our options there. That's what the closed session is about.
Yeah, I think if I'm not mistaken, I think the reason it's on the agenda with administration comments is to see where the status is. We understood that the Mitchell Landing had been in terrible, deplorable conditions. I think there's only, four or five units that are even functional.
There are eight units that are occupied at the moment.
And how many are not occupied?
That would be 16. Okay. So there is one condemned building.
Okay.
And then all the occupied units are on the first floor.
And on the first floor. Okay. So we have a city who had been talking about beating the drum of affordable housing. And this is it. This is the project. It not only does it encompass Mitchell Landing in itself to be totally rehabbed and totally redesigned and used for that purpose, the subsidized housing, but there's also a senior project that goes along with it that encapsulates how many other affordable housing units for senior citizens.
That I'm not sure because that project that property is owned by the housing authority.
Okay.
That's county. Yeah.
But is there not an agreement for that? There's with the Mitchell Landing. It's just
there's
not rehabbing Mitchell Landing.
Funding from the state through tax credits includes, I think it's the
Riverside Homes. Riverside Homes and Mitchell Landing, which is, and they came up with the name River Mitch.
Okay.
But they packaged it together when they got funding from the state.
And that's all HUD housing, all subsidized housing.
Mitchell Landing is not subsidized housing. It is income-based housing. So the individuals who live there can only make so much money a year, and then their rent cannot be more than 30% of their income. So there's a qualification process. If at some point during their lease they exceed the income qualification, they have 2 years to find other housing. They don't qualify there, but they give them 2 years to move on.
But it is subsidized.
It's not subsidized. The people do not. It's income based. I can't remember the term, but they do not receive a subsidy for their housing there. That project does not qualify for that.
Mm-hmm. So they just pay the amount that they can afford.
Correct, based on their incomes.
Then the state doesn't provide any other. Mm-mm. They just pay what they can afford out of the income that they make.
Correct.
Okay, fine. So all of those properties. All of those units will be returned to that model, correct?
It depends on what agreement the housing authority has with the state, because at the end of the day, the housing authority will own that. The city would not. I don't know what that agreement is between the housing authority and the state.
But with Mitchell Landing specifically, it will remain what is deemed an affordable housing complex, which would be income driven or income restrictive housing, which means you'll have to be below a threshold to be able to reside there. You have to rent there. The same nature, the same spirit that it currently exists will continue in that same capacity.
And do we know if that will also be the same spirit with the senior housing?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because there's a piece that's combination here, and I'm also worried about being very mindful of the.
The housing authority has that senior home. So that will be based upon their income.
Okay.
I do know that much. Mitchell Pond is actually income driven, like Mayor said. It has a set income base, like yearly, according to the family size and according to how much money they make. It's not anything that's subsidized. But the thing that really upsets me about this is this place should have never gotten this condition. Anyway, it should have never been to this point. I'm so discouraged, and I'm going to say this, with developers coming in our cities or whatever, and we're not holding them accountable for their developments. The city, and anybody can get upset with me, I don't care, I'm going to say it. We should have taken care better care of our property. That was city property, and I hold the city accountable for that, because that property should have been maintained much better. When I spoke about it, it was said to me, nothing to do with you, Mayor, it was said to me that, we shouldn't own property. Well, whether we should or shouldn't, that property should have been maintained better than it has been. It's a mess over there. And, I mean, some of those people are still living in deplorable conditions simply because they can't find anywhere else to live.
On that note, the people who are residing there now, will they be given an option to remain?
Yes.
Or
they would have the option of the first right of return once it's complete.
Okay.
As long as they have to comply
to what the rules are.
Right.
When it comes to re-enrolling or reapplying for those apartments, they have to go by those guidelines. If they don't, they don't set those guidelines, then they'll have to find somewhere else to stay.
Right.
If they don't meet them.
So the city has sold this property.
So there's an existing contract.
There's an existing contract. So has it been sold?
No.
Okay, so it's not been sold. I understood it was sold. It's not sold.
Mm-mm.
Okay. But we have a contract.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there anything on the city's part that we've not held up on that contract in order to get this whole thing moving forward, to rehab these homes, these units, and to get these affordable housing options back to our residents?
No. I mean, there's one issue relative to the deposits, which I think that'll be up again. We'll talk about it as a part of the legal matter. But those are the reserves that are supposed to go with the project as was part of the agreement. But that's not really at play. I think everybody wants to see it return to affordable housing as quickly as it possibly can with somebody owning it, not the city. But given the contract, all I'm saying is that we've misunderstood, I think, what's being considered here as its purchase price. So that's what I want to get into.
I can say one thing. Mayor, I applaud you for the steps that you've taken to keep those people there. Now, I will give a person their props whenever they do. But you have done a remarkable job of keeping those people there, because you could have actually just told everybody, because of some of the conditions of those apartments, they could have been made to move. But most of the ones that have stayed there, their apartments are still in good condition because of the upkeep of themselves.
I think Thursday, Muir and I are actually going to go over and look at it. And I guess the state's coming on the 15th or something.
19th.
Okay. Don't want to go there in advance.
Are there any other questions or comments from the council at this time? Are there any public comments? I didn't see any public comments from the – okay. Vaughn, you have public comments? Thank you.
Thank you. The unfortunate thing is that I write all my notes on there, and then I have to pass that in.
Read.
Give the wrong one.
Well, no.
You're on your own now. Right?
Thank you. Vaughn Sayers, city resident. And I just like to say that while I'm happy to see something happen productively with Mitchell Landing, I got to tell you that the previous administration was extremely derelict in their responsibility to Mitchell Landing. It literally looked like a dump site. I've gone there when it's been pristine and everything's intact, and it's just one admirable place to reside. And in the last few years, it has literally looked like you've just pushed it out of the city, trash piled up everywhere, doors, windows, everything torn up, torn off. And the thing that concerns me is that you ride city homeowners so hard, so heavy, so inconsiderate, that you would j- just allow property that you own that was in your stewardship to just become so derelict that it looked like it was about to be a rodent, roach, critter infected area. And finally, you're paying some attention to it, but for years you neglected it while you rode the homeowners' backs. You don't show them the favor, the kind consideration that they need to get their properties up and functioning. I would just ask that you not give the property away, even though you allowed it to become so derelict. Please don't just give it to a contractor or to a developer because of your anxiousness now to get it up and functioning. Hold them accountable. These people are better able to get these things accomplished than most homeowners. And perhaps you should take in consideration a way that you can show homeowners some kind of favor. Waive their fees for a change. Give them a break with taxes. Give them a break with water fees, what have you. Just as you're allowing developers to take advantage of all those things. And I also wonder if you have some kind of comprehensive collection of all of the properties in the last 20 to 30 years that have been deferred to see how the tax base has improved by virtue of having allowed all of the tax breaks, all of the deferments, all of the tax fees, all of the tap-ins that you have extended to contractors. What have we reaped as a result of that? Where are we standing? And I would also like to ask, when you're talking about the parking for students and seniors. Now, this just may be my ignorance, but are you talking about seniors as in old folks or seniors as in classification of a student? Oh, I forgive me. I'm waiting for a response, and I shouldn't be. Forgive me. But I just wonder. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other public comments that we have?
I'm going to try to make it brief because I did send you information on Mitchell Landing, I think about a week ago. When I saw what was the contract, I kind of got interested. Because I had heard, beating around the bush, that the city was not going to get any money to speak of at the settlement of the contract of sale. So I looked into it, and I see that there is the place was built about 30 years ago with a loan from the state, DHCD. It was a 40-year loan. It was roughly $1.4 million initially. According to public documents, it's been paid down to about $1.3 million. I've settled a lot of loans, and I've paid off a lot of loans in my real estate practice. I've never seen a loan at that duration. 75% of that time has gone by, 30 years out of 40, with virtually no pay down of principal. Now, I don't know what the loan agreement is. That's not in the public record, nor is the note. The deed of trust is. And that doesn't give these details. But that really seems unusual to me. It almost looks to me like it's a grant. And if the purchaser of it, whoever it might be, I understand it's affiliated with Green Street Housing and the Housing Authority. I mean, I'm not knocking them. But, you know, if that loan is not, quote, loan, which looks more like a, quote, grant, is not going to be paid off, then they're essentially getting the property, whatever it's worth. And I understand it may not be worth what you would think, a 24-unit or whatever it is, in good shape. It's apparently not in very good shape, but it's worth something, and so is the land. So, I mean, to me, that's something to look at. Now, just another couple things, and I think I did send these to you as well. If it does go through, the deed should not include any of the pond. If you go back and look at the deed where the city acquired the property, it also includes the pond. Now, there's under Maryland law, there's a question whether that might be valid, the land under the pond. I was involved in a case like that about 30 years ago, and it's on the other side of town, and I forget how it was resolved. But in any event, the contract itself doesn't call for the pond. And, you know, the pond someday might be a nice recreation area. I don't know. I don't know what it's like today. I've never been at that pond or in it. But in any event, that's a matter to consider. And if the buyer is going to take over this state thing, the city should be totally released. Not, you know, we're going to pay it, we're going to assume it and pay it for you, and who knows what could happen in the future. And when people deal in deals like this in the private sector and somebody's buying property subject to an existing loan, you get a full release if you can possibly do it, and it makes a lot of sense to do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other public comments before we move on this evening? What is it? No. The consensus is no. You had 4 minutes. The consensus is no from the council. Anything else? President Dowdy, did you want to take the meeting back over, considering moving into a different area, closing it with, administration?
Yes, and council
comments.
Thank you, Mr. Boda.
Thank you.
All right, let's move on to administration and council comments.
I'm just glad to be back. I was gone last week. You guys didn't miss me too much, but I know Mr. Tall filled in. And city's still standing, which is exciting. So I guess I can leave again and everything will be fine. No, but glad to be back and looking forward to continuing conversations about all these topics. And I'll yield the rest of my time.
Well, I'm glad to have you back. Tonight is a long agenda. I won't spend much time, but I do want to make one comment relative to Mr. Gillis. I am trying to do my job. That's what I'm here for, and I know we're not exactly seeing eye to eye right now, but I came here to do this job, and I am going to do this job. So that's I'm not shying away from what we've got to go on here, but so I just want to make that comment. So
thank you. Councilwoman Gregory?
Well, it's good to be back. Glad to see everybody's in person. It's lovely. For those who don't know, my husband has been very ill the last couple of months, has gone through multiple surgeries, and is back on the mend, and I am leaving him unattended this evening, sort of. I'm stalking his blood sugar as we speak. So, however, he made the mistake of letting me connect my phone to his little device. So, anyway, I just want to say thank you all for your patience and your grace as I have not been able to be here, and your support. I want to thank the council, as I was remiss to do this before. They were gracious enough to buy myself and the kids dinner one night while he was in the hospital, and that was I am very, very grateful for that. That was an act of kindness that I will absolutely pay forward. Just a couple of things of note. Happy Women's History Month to an almost entirely women's council. Hey, look. I've been listening to your Black History Month, and I thought, you know what? But I'm just going to mention it, except for, you know, we've got all women council with the combo breaker being Deshaun. So, I'm really happy to serve alongside some really fantastic women, our city attorney, our city clerk's office, all the women who work for the city. All the women in the city, happy Women's History Month. So, also want to bring up next week on March 12th at 6:30 p.m., there is a DAF tank discussion being held at Warwick Auditorium. Highly recommend you head out there and check it out. It's something that we all need to be aware about. The DAF tanks are waste tanks that are holding waste from various animal production plants, and they can be highly toxic, and there are going to be a lot of good expert folks at this discussion, so you can learn more about it and what we can do about it. So that's it for me tonight. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Councilwoman, and glad to have you back. Councilwoman DeShiel?
They said you couldn't hear me before. Now I'm right up here. So, I had a meeting last week with the dean of students and a neighbor in my district, the third district, regarding guidelines and kind of, you know, making sure that things were clear as far as the responsibility for the Salisbury University Police and the Salisbury Police Department. And with the help of Chief Mindshine, as well as the collaboration with the college, we feel that, you know, that's been confirmed and we've tightened up a little bit on that because they have a great relationship already. So we're just working a little bit more on that. Chief Frampton over there reminded me that the police department, the fire department has stepped up to supply not one, not two, not three, not four, but five dinners for the homeless shelter. And this Thursday, thank you. Anybody interested, go Google HHEH and you'll be able to sign up. The city council, this whole group that you're looking at, is supplying dinner on Thursday night of this week, and Muir is working on another night. So I thank you to the city for everything. Also, I'd like to thank my mentor, Kim, at the end, for making sure my request for an update on Carroll Street and Eastern Shore Drive will be on the agenda on the 18th of March.
Thank you, Councilwoman DeShiel. Councilwoman Jackson?
Well, Michelle, I've been under the weather for real. But Michelle did kind of steal my thunder, but she didn't steal it all. March is National Women's History Month. I thank God for all the women in my life. They were steadfast and unmovable. They had a lot of wisdom and had sound mind. So I say to all women across this nation, continue to move forward, stand firm, be diligent, love yourself. We are important to this world, and we are. And I'd like to thank you all for wishing me a happy birthday. I'll be 66. Ooh, I'm glad I'm here because I've been racked in pain with lupus. So just continue to keep me lifted.
Thank you, Councilwoman Jackson, and hope you feel better. Council Vice President?
Just as always, just quick and simple. If you're healthy enough, please, please donate blood. Our area just is critically low. And please, please make that appointment. Thank you.
Yes. Well, this has been I appreciate all the public input as always. I love hearing your input. And I think at the end of the day, others have shared that we all have a vision for Salisbury. I'm excited for at the end of, you know, all of this, when all this is over, that we all have a vision that we can agree to that is greater good for our residents and for our people here. This Wednesday is, I mentioned it before, but this Wednesday is the Bayside, the final or something for a Y High girls. So I'll be going. I feel like I'm a part of the team now, I've been to all the games, but I'm excited for my cousin who is on the team, Selah Foreman, and she will on Wednesday get her 1,000 points as a sophomore. So I'm incredibly proud of her and for the things that the Y High girls team is doing. And, you know, AY High as, you know, I believe blue and gold, so I'll be to that. I had the pleasure of this weekend going to Atlanta and celebrating my nephew's second birthday. And so if you follow me on social media, you'll see his picture tomorrow. And so that was, I was filled with joy. So I have to say happy birthday, Mr. Kyrie Dowdy, all the way in Atlanta, Georgia. You are two, and that is the joy of my life right there. So took some break from some business, and on the way there and back, I had the pleasure of reading all the LDAs and all the city council things. So that kept me busy. And that is it. So, seeing no other comments, questions, or concerned, sir?
Just show off.
Oh, yes, of
course. I would like to speak for myself and I think for the council as well. Thank you, Carolyn, Bob, Lisa, John, anyone else. When you do send that information, it is of value to us, yeah, even though we may not be responding to every single email regarding what you send.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And again, I know it's been mentioned before, but again, I was going to say happy Women's History Month to the other ladies on the council, and you all keep me straight, definitely. And yes, you all. So, I have the immense pleasure to serve with you all. And of course, the city clerk's office, you all are fantastic, and they do all the work behind the scenes. And of course, our city attorney. So thank you all. And with that, this meeting is now adjourned. Okay, good. So I'll call for a motion to convene in closed session to consult with...
We don't answer the questions.
I'm sorry, what? I didn't hear what she...
She asked the question, but it was about we don't respond to the questions.
Oh, for you to disagree. Oh, okay. Gotcha. So, so we'll have a deeper dive next time. But I know we did a high level. But so I'll make sure that we have someone contact you and provide you with a deeper dive on that. Thank you. I'm so sorry. Yes. All right. So I'll call for a motion to convene in closed session to consult with legal counsel to obtain legal advice on the land disposition agreement governing the proposed Salisbury Town Center development and other legal issues surrounding the development of lots 1, 11, and 15 as authorized by state government articles sections 3-305, subsections B, 7, and to consult with staff and the city attorney about the pending appeal involving Salisbury Town Center Apartments, LLC, as authorized by state government articles Article 3-305, subsection B, subsection 8.
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
Well, I have a question about the second part of the motion. Okay. I don't understand why you would be consulting the staff and the city attorney about the pending appeal involving Salisbury Town.
So all those in favor of the motion,
please signify
by saying aye.
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 Okay. And the chair votes aye.
Okay, so we're now moving into closed session.
I was just going to say that I think that these were written before. We were inspecting a decision. That's the day today.
There's a lot.